the Lord. Those are some up songs. Thank the Lord for putting it on the heart of somebody to sing. Turn to John chapter 1. We'll begin reading at 14. We finished with 14 the last time. And we'll be starting with 15. But I want to read 14. It's just such a beautiful verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, Who art thou? And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked Him, What then? Art thou Elias? And He saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, No. Then said they unto Him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked Him, and said unto Him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming before me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. That's a beautiful passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, how we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth. We thank You for the light. We thank You for this man's ministry. We thank You most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ and all the blessings He's brought to us. Forgiveness of sin, acceptance in the Beloved, filled with the Spirit of God, forgiven, dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My, we have wonderful blessings we want to thank You for. Give us some help today and help us to understand and read. And I ask that You bless all that hear. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. John 1:15, John bare witness of Him. Well, that's what He came for. This is a very interesting man. I want you to think about John the Baptist. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have children. He didn't have grandchildren. Didn't look like he had anything to do but serve God. Now, that's an unusual person. Now, amazing. His diet was, he didn't steak and beans. Locusts and wild honey. Now, I like to buy local honey. Now, if I buy it at H-E-B, I don't know whether it came from Cameroon or from California or where. And just because I'm a diabetic and I have also sinus problems, you use honey that's in your neighborhood, then it's sort of supposed to help you resist the
allergies,
thank you. Yes. Supposed to help you resist the allergies and build up a thing. Now, He ate locusts and wild honey. Now, I'm not sure that that was his total diet. I just know it's an unusual diet. And you wouldn't think much about that. Anyway, here he is, and we have the verse 14. The Word, that's what we were talking about last week, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's the express image of his person. And John bare witness of him. That's what it says right here. Giving you the ministry of John the Baptist. Bear witness of him and said, this was he of whom I spake. Now, if you'll remember in the other Gospels, it tells us about Mary going to her cousin, the mother of John the Baptist. And when she announces she's pregnant with the child of the Holy Ghost, John the Baptist in the womb leaped. And she knew it. I've never been kicked by one of them. I felt them, you know. I felt these little babies kicking the mama in the belly. Pop, pop. Well, John the Baptist, it says, was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Is that unusual? You weren't filled with the Holy Ghost from your mother's womb. And nobody else was. Where does somebody get saved, you know? And the Holy Spirit touches their heart and moves upon them. John the Baptist is a very unusual man. And he's a man very prophesied. You know, here they ask him two or three times if he's the one. He is, but he may not know it. And so he's confessing his own honesty. I am not the Christ. Well, are you the prophet that goes before him? No. And they just didn't, he just maybe didn't know. He knew what he was supposed to do, but he wouldn't put himself into the Old Testament prophecies. At any rate, it says in here, John bare witness of him and said, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He's saying, I'm not equal to him. He doesn't take a power to himself. He recognizes the lordship of Jesus Christ, even though it's his cousin and about 6 months younger than him. And it says, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. He is bigger than I am. You know, when you read the book of Hebrews, it's a beautiful book, and it's being better than Moses. And Jesus is better than angels. And Jesus is better than. Well, John is recognizing that right here. And as John the apostle is writing this book, he introduced us to the Word of God that was going to take care of the sins of the world. And then he introduces us to John the Baptist and his ministry. What was his ministry? His ministry was to go before Jesus Christ and set the stage for him, prepare the way, straighten out the paths, so on and so forth. It says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. You may get tired of hearing about grace. I don't. I don't ever get tired of hearing about grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Grace is such a beautiful thing to me, and such a an honest way of looking at salvation. I look at a lot of religion because I've been, you know, dealing with religion all my life, and then I was started preaching about 20, and good boys going to heaven and bad boys going to hell, that's really not true. Because a lot of bad boys are going to go to heaven because they got the grace of God from Jesus Christ. And the only way any of you good boys are going to go to heaven is you get the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And so religion, as it's put out, and sometimes how it's practiced, is it's not really true. And so much of the world is religious, but they may not be saved. And, well, I was religious 10 years before I got saved. And then when I got saved, it was a complete difference. Change your mind. The Holy Spirit comes into you and changes a whole lot of things that you've got there. Well, John is talking. He said, his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Praise God for that grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. What does the law do for you? There's an awful lot of people that are very interested in the law. In fact, they're trying to get people to live by the law now. Do you realize that nobody ever really made it by the law? All you have to do is break one law. All you have to do is tell one lie. And that puts you didn't keep the law. All you had to do was lust after one woman or lust after one man. And you broke the law. Well, here we have the law. It was given by Moses. Now, if you want to go by the law, you certainly can. But it's a losing battle all the way. What is the law going to do for you? It's going to tell you your sin. It's a very negative thing. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. All of that. And I read the law and I say, I'm guilty. You ever read the law and feel guilty? I don't think you can read the law without feeling guilty if you take it to yourself. Who has never told a lie? Don't raise your hands. Who hadn't stolen something? You never were a kid and you picked up something or took some change off of the counter? I did. And I knew I was a bad little boy. So I was a little worried about how I was going to get it into heaven. Well, we get grace by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, the law was given by Moses. And that law ought to wake you up. You ought to be awakened by the law. If you read the law, it ought to wake you up. Come to the place, say, this is what God demands. This is the perfect man. And then, of course, how do you fit? Brent has a way of saying something, you know, he's witnessing somebody and they tell him they're living by the law. You know, they're living. He said, how's that working out for you? Well, how's it working out for you? If you read it, you'll find out I missed it. I missed it.
Amen.
I'm not perfect. Now, you may have a problem with this attitude. I have had people I've talked to over the years. Jesus fulfilled perfectly the law.
Amen.
Never sinned. Can you imagine raising a child like that? All of mine were sinners. They were born sinners. They were born selfish. Every little baby, most selfish thing in town. You say, oh, he's such a little sweet little angel, and you know, you blubber on him and you kiss on him and you pet on him, but he's demanding. He wants his way. He wants his diaper changed. He wants some food. He wants mama to pet him. He does not want to be laid down. Eddie's not here. He's in Del Rio, but Eddie had a hard time going to sleep. I had to take him out and put him in the car, drive him around a block or two. He'd go to sleep. I'd carry him in and put him up. You know, crazy things like that. Little bitty babies are very selfish. Let me tell you something. You are a great big baby, pretty selfish too. We're not too far from the demands of that little baby. I want my way. Anybody around here, you just let everybody else have their way? You lie, you lie, you lie. No. We think we're right. We think we're deserve to be paid attention to. But that's the law. You're talking about, this is how you judge righteousness? Well, it is. It is law. You keep the law, you're considered good, you're considered righteous. But at any rate, it says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to deny Christ, maybe you don't think there could ever be a man like that. I had someone I loved very much, respected very much. His attitude was, there wasn't any man ever lived could have done what Jesus did. So therefore he didn't believe. And he's probably in hell today. Because I never saw him change and turn. But the thing of it is, Jesus did. And this is what you have to believe. You have to believe here is the one that fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law. And he did it while he was teaching us what God looked like. The Old Testament God, Jehovah, Lord, he doesn't come in a body. Well, he puts on certain bodies. He might put on the body of an angel or the body of a man, or he put on a cloud or a fire. But God is a spirit. And as a spirit, he doesn't have a necessarily a body form. He's a spirit. Well, Jesus Christ took upon himself a baby's body, a human being. And he came into this world to live a perfect life according to the law and to the dictates of God, and go to the cross of Calvary as the Lamb of the first year. And when he goes to the cross of Calvary, he's about 33 years old. He gives himself a sacrifice to pay for your sin. And God has got something great, this substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's hard to believe. Yeah, it might be a little hard to believe. But I come to the place, I believe it.
Amen.
I was told Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ was perfect. Amen. Jesus Christ never sinned.
Amen.
Jesus Christ gave up his life for my sins.
Thank you, Lord.
And then he rose from the dead. And then he ascended into heaven and put his blood upon the mercy seat of the tabernacle that's in heaven. You remember God told Moses to make the tabernacle on earth like what he saw. So there's a tabernacle in heaven. And the one on the earth was simply a copy that Moses did. At any rate, grace and truth. Wow. Grace, undeserved benefit, undeserved favor. You're on the good side of God and you don't deserve it. That's grace. Now, a lot of people don't like grace because they think you ought to really give us a hard time about obeying everything. Well, we do get a hard time. Read through the Bible. The Bible's telling you a whole lot of things. Tells you to live right, tells you not to lie, tells you to love your neighbor, tells you to do a lot of things. And then if you don't like somebody giving you a direction, you don't want to read the Bible because it's got directions all through it. Old Testament and New Testament alike. Well, here John is introducing this Savior. And we're going to get grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at John 5:45, the book of John 5, verse 45, look at what this verse says. Think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses in whom you trust. All these people that are going back and trying to make the law, you know, trying to dress like the Jewish people and trying to obey the law and walk into certain things, you know, don't have different fabrics together that you wear, stuff like that. Some of the Old Testament, they're going to get in trouble because the law is going to accuse them. You want to go back under the law? You're crazy. You're out of your mind. There's no way that you can make it. If the Jews, with practiced all their lives, brought up under certain regulations, if they couldn't fulfill it, how do you think you can? You're so far away from it. So it says, you have one to accuse you to the Father. There's one, even Moses, in whom you trust. You're trusting Moses. Well, that Moses law is going to condemn you. Not a one of you can live enough of the law of Moses, because one sin. One sin, that's all you need to kick you out of keeping the law. It's like a chain. You break one, it's broken. The chain's broken. So anyway, in John chapter 6 and verse 46, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. We see the Son, and the Son reveals to us the personality of God, what God would look like, what God would act like, what God would think on a certain subject. You take a look at Jesus Christ, man. You're looking at the exact mind, the express image of God the Father that's unseen. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And because it's so beautiful, it ought to rejoice your heart. I liked all those rejoicing songs this morning, didn't you? I thought he had a bunch of rejoicing songs. Thank you, David. And I have a rejoicing heart anytime I look at Jesus. I don't look at him and get condemned. I look at him and get saved. I look at him and get forgiven. I look at him and get grace. Amen. That's what comes from Jesus Christ. Beautiful thing. In Ezekiel 33:20, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. You can't see God. Deuteronomy 4:12, and the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, and you heard the voice of words, but saw no similitude. Only you heard a voice. Jesus Christ is the express image of God the Father. And so he's God in the flesh, Son of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the Father, and Mary was the mother. And when Mary went and told Elizabeth that, John the Baptist was about 6 months in her womb, and he jumped and rejoiced, evidently. Praise the Lord. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now that's verse 18 of this first chapter. First Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Look at verse 16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. He hath declared him. That's who John the Baptist is declaring to these Jews that have been following him, following his baptism, following his preaching. And John the Baptist is a tough preacher. I don't think there's a church in town would call him. And if they called him and it's out of a month, they'd be trying to get rid of him. He's tough. And you think Jesus was all sweet preaching? Have you thought about when they came and they were trying to tell who Jesus was? Some of them said he was Elijah. Some of them said he was John the Baptist. They picked the toughest prophets that you even know anything about to be Jesus. And you think Jesus is all real sweet, sweet things? No. He was a tough preacher himself. We're gonna see even here just a little bit about how he handled the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees are out after John because he's got a following. In fact, all of the apostles of Jesus were disciples of John the Baptist. He had already brought them. So when Jesus goes along, he just goes and calls him. He goes and calls Matthew and he calls Peter and whatever. And they were the disciples of John the Baptist. They'd already been prepared. And they saw him when he come. And when he walked down, he pointed him out. There's the Son of God. That was his job. That was his job. He was to introduce Jesus to the Jewish nation. Now in John 5:33, it speaks a little bit more about the ministry of John the Baptist. It says, but John 5:33, you sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from men. Now this is Jesus. But these things I say that you might be saved. Remember the purpose of the book? He's read a lot of other books. I personally, it doesn't really matter, but I personally believe that John was written after the other three Gospels were written. And he probably knew what they had to say, because he didn't tell a lot of the stories that they told. And in fact, he picked seven big miracles and to show that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and to show that you could be saved and how to be saved. And that's what the purpose of the book is. Anyway, you sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. What's he doing in this book? You might ought to get people, go buy you some Gospels of John and pass them out. And like I showed you that one, we've got one here real nice, good print, marked, and marked to where people don't have to know Bible verses. They've got just page numbers and down there, and then dark lines for the scriptures. Very good witness. It's a very good thing to use when you're witnessing. But the reason why you would fill out and buy so many Gospels of John, and I probably bought more Gospels of John than any other portion of the Bible in my 62 years of preaching the gospel. Passed out an awful lot of them. You sent unto John. He bear witness unto the truth. I don't receive testimony from man. These things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing to rejoice. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. What is John doing? He's a light that brings a gathering of people to recognize Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Savior of the world. That's his job. He does a very good job of it. He doesn't have a long ministry. He's not going to get to preach 60 years. He doesn't have a long ministry. He's going to have a short ministry, and he's going to be killed. But he doesn't have any other interest, it looks like. Looks like he is committed unto Jesus Christ, and he's introducing him, and he doesn't worry about anything else. And that's pretty good. You got a job to do. God's got a job for you. Well, he was a burning and a shining light. He got everybody's attention. He got the Pharisees' attention. He got the sinners' attention. There were sinners coming to him. And of course, then the Pharisees, the very religious people, and they're wondering, what prophet is this? The Jews had all sorts of prophets. And I don't understand all the prophecies and all the prophets. Yeah, you want to study something out? But they were for the coming. I like the New Testament when he's come already. That's where the blessing is for me. He was a burning and a shining light. John 5:35. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Praise God. Isn't it nice to have somebody around that has some light? Nice to go to somebody that knows what you're talking about. Nice to go to somebody that prays to the same God that you pray to. Nice to go to somebody that knows something about the New Testament and believes it. Yes, it is very nice. But he said in verse 36, I have a greater witness than that of John. What's your greater witness, Lord? For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. What's he talking about? Miracles. He's talking about raising the dead. Anybody do that? Talking about healing blind people. How about lame people? How about stopping a funeral? How about something that comes to him and said, we run out of wine. Got a wedding, and it's an embarrassing thing for our family. I don't know who the family member was that was getting married, but Jesus and his new disciples have been invited to the wedding, and they went out to the wedding. And the guys that were the servants that were carrying things, or the helpers, they had these big bowls of water, 20 gallons, 50 gallons, whatever, you know, they're big. And he said, fill them with water and then set them out here. That's the story of the water made wine. Now, those guys that carried it, they knew what they filled it with. They filled it with water. Now, the head of the family that's conducting the wedding, he goes over there and he starts passing it out and he tastes it. And one of the guys said, hey, generally, when you first start drinking, they give you the best wine. Because you can taste it then. After you've drunk a little while, they give you the cheaper stuff. And you don't know the difference because you've been drinking. He said, you saved the best to last. And what happens? It's a miracle. Water into wine. They knew they put water in there. Now, how did they get fermented wine that was the best of all of them? It was the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a miracle. What's he proving? He's the Son of God. What's he proving? He's got control over water and wine. He even proves he's got control over the lake. He got control over the waves. He can even walk on water. We are all sorts of things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can feed a multitude of 5,000 men, but not besides the women and children that might have been there. Yeah. He's given you a testimony and a record. He was a burning and a shining light and willing to rejoice. He sees him. Now then, in verse 19 of this chapter, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Who are you? You show up out here, you're sort of rough cut, you don't look like you've got a great big education, you're not really living high on the hog, you don't have a big house, you don't have a family. Who are you to come telling us, we these educated people, we've been through the seminary and the doctor's degrees and whatever, and you got these, they've got the education. I've been through a lot of doctors of education that didn't have a brain in their head. Not enough to get in out of the rain. And they don't read the Bible that much either. They read about the Bible. You know what preachers study when they go? They don't really get much of a study of the Bible. They get studies about the Bible. And some of the guys that are writing about the Bible don't believe it. Upset me. Look at verse 20. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They want to know, are you the Christ? He said, no, I am not the Christ. And they ask him, now the Pharisees here, what then? Art thou Elias? Well, I think he was Elias. I think he is a rebirth of Elijah. And I think we're going to see him in the future, coming back even then. I think he didn't know, but he could not take that to himself. And so he's not answering them what they want to see. Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said unto him, who art thou, that we may go give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And here's his witness. This much he knew about it. He didn't know whether he knew he wasn't the Christ. He didn't know that he was Elijah. He didn't know that he was that prophet that was prophesied in Malachi. He didn't know. He said, here's who I am. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Lord, had said the prophet Elias. Isaiah, I mean. I'm a voice. Hey, are you a voice? Are you a voice for Christ? Are you a voice that would tell people how to get saved? Are you a voice that can give a testimony to a person in need? Are you a voice that has contact with God that somebody can ask you to pray and you pray for them? You ought to be a voice. Anybody that's familiar with the New Testament of Jesus Christ or the Gospel of John can be a voice. You realize there's a lot of people out there that are religious but lost. Religious but lost. That's what a lot of these people were that he was dealing with. They were very religious people. Their whole life was dominated by law after law after law. They needed to know that Jesus Christ paid the debt of that law for them. They needed to know he'd come. And that's what John was here doing. Voice of one crying in the wilderness. So Isaiah 40 verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And it says, verse 24 of our chapter here, they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Now, you understand the Pharisees. They're very religious people. They're very educated people. They are, they're not like John the Baptist. They're not old, scruffy prophets. They ate really good meals, and they dressed in very fine clothes, and they had authority over the nation of Israel under the Roman government. I'd get tickled at a guy, the Pharisees, when they were getting mad at Jesus, and they said, "We were never in bondage to any man." That's sort of ridiculous, you know. They were right then in bondage to the Roman government. You know what reason why guys like Matthew had a bad testimony? They were collecting taxes for the Roman government of their Jewish people. And the tax collector, he had to collect enough to make him a prophet. Most of them got rich, so they were a little bit despised. They were of the Pharisees. Now, what did Jesus think of the Pharisees? Look at Luke 11, 39, 40 and 41. Three verses there over in Luke 11. And the Lord said unto him, "Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." He said, you look real good from the outside, your clothes are right, your face is right, but your heart's wrong. Your head's wrong. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, "Prepare you the way of the Lord, make it straight." I lost myself. 11:40. "Ye fools, did not he which made that which is without make that which is within also?" He's asking about God. What does he do to you? You think God only cares about your outside? Only cares about the clothes you wear, whether you shave or brush your teeth, or whether you use a little perfume to hide the sweat odor? If God is interested in the outside, he's interested in the inside. And just cleaning up the outside is not going to do anything to the inside. Amen. That's what he's saying to him here. "Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather, give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you." An amazing thing. That's grace. If you accept the grace of God, all things are clean unto you. The salvation we've got is a beautiful thing. And it is absolutely so beautiful and so glorious, and it shines so great that the law is like a candle in comparison to the gospel being like the sun in its brightness. Wow, what great light. Verse 25 in the chapter. "And asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you." There standeth one among you. Whom? He's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. He said in verse 27, "He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose." Now, according to Jesus, there has never been a prophet, a greater prophet, born than John the Baptist. You can find that in the scripture. Out of all the prophets that were born in the Old Testament era, all the way coming up to Christ, but he that is least in the church, that's you. Maybe you're the least in the church. You got a higher rank than John the Baptist because of where you are. Privilege. He was living under the Old Testament law, and he dies under that Old Testament law. He died before Christ dies. And he's the greatest prophet of all the prophets that are in the Old Testament. Wow. And yet the very least in the church of God, paid for by the blood of Jesus, sins forgiven, cleansed, dressed in the righteousness of Christ, made a son of God, is ultimately greater. Now, I don't think any of us can preach as well as John the Baptist. I think he had a gift. And boldness? Man, he was bold. Tell the king you shouldn't have her. Boy, that made that woman mad. Get mad today if you tell them they're in sin. They can get pretty mad at you. They can hurt you. John the Baptist was a great preacher. And Jesus says he's the greatest prophet. Now, why would he be the greatest prophet? He got to introduce Jesus. He's the introduction to this gospel story. Wow. He's the greater prophet than Isaiah or the Jeremiah. He comes down and he's a bright and shining light and he gathers a group of disciples that Jesus Christ is going to come in and take over. And then John's going to be killed. For his testimony, for his stand, and for his preaching. They did not like him. And in fact, he would tell them, don't even come to my baptism. You're a bunch of crooks. You're terrible people. You haven't repented. Why in the world should I baptize you when you, the way you're living? John the Baptist was one tough guy. And he didn't pull any punches for anybody. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Look at John 5:35. I'll finish with this today. John 5:35. We're going to go through about verse 24. The Father loveth the Son, and has given all things into his hand. All things. We have the power. Here's Jesus. He that believeth on the Son, verse 36, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which is sent him. Verily, verily, truly, truly, surely, surely, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Wow. Let me tell you what. The Gospel of John is an evangelistic book. The Gospel of John has probably been printed more. And even John 3:16. Think how many times that one verse has been printed. I mean, maybe the 23rd Psalm, the 1st Psalm, the 19th Psalm. Maybe. Wow. The Gospel of John? Why print it? So people can get saved. To explain salvation. All they have to do is read it and believe it, act upon it, receive it. Jesus is the Son of God. We got the testimony of the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. And what he said was, Jesus is the Son of God. Wow. You happy you got life?
Amen.
I'm happy I got life. God bless you. You preaching there from y'all.